good old book. Almost everyone is familiar with the story of Jonah and what happened to him, and in regards to preaching against Nineveh, and in regards to what God did and what Jonah really didn't expect him to do. For those of you that have studied your Bible enough to know, Jonah was disappointed about what God did with his preaching. Now, it's kind of paradoxical, mysterious that a preacher should be told of the Lord or led of the Lord to preach a message to some folks, and then when that happens, those folks say, "We've been wrong. We need to get our lives right." And then it's kind of mysterious for such a preacher, when he sees that happen, to get mad about it. That's what Jonah did. He got tore up about the fact that God made his preaching effective. I believe every preacher, every faithful Baptist preacher on the planet would be really glad to see God make his messages effectual to those that he preached to. I mean, that would excite a preacher. Well, it excited Jonah, but kind of in the wrong way. And so we want to look this morning at the subject of the preparations of God in concerning the life of Jonah, and see how that God teaches us here in this good old book that He takes care of everything, and that He has made plans and arrangements and appointments to handle everything that we confront and that we experience. Now, looking in Jonah chapter 1, let's read verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, as I've said, most people know what happens in this book, how that Jonah's in the ship, they get to see a big storm comes up, and the ship is threatened. They think they're going to lose it and lose their lives in that stormy sea, and Jonah's down in the belly of the ship asleep. And they all pray to their gods for help, and no gods answer them. Amazing. Imagine that. No false gods that these people are praying about answering them. Anyway, one of them decides they'll wake Jonah up and say, "Hey, we're in big trouble. Pray to your God also that we'll be delivered from this." And then Jonah's account to these people about who he is, because they begin asking him questions, he tells them, he says, I'm a man that worships the God who made both the sea and the land." And further questioning, the Bible tells us here in this chapter and chapter 2, that Jonah tells them that he's fleeing from God. And they realize they're in big trouble. And so Jonah says to them, "Well, here's the solution. If you'll cast me overboard, well, everything will be all right. God will bring this to a close, and the seas will be calmed, and you'll be saved." And so they think, "Well, you know, maybe that's true, but let's try to do it another way." So they work hard to get control of the ship, and it can't happen. They can't get it done. And so finally, they pray and ask God, Jehovah, to forgive them for what they're about to do. And they cast Jonah overboard. At that time, we're brought to the verse that we want to begin our thoughts on, and that is verse 17 in this chapter. And notice that verse 17 says something. "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." There's our first thought. The Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Now our message, as I said, is going to be about how God prepares things for His people. And we see at least 5 points about this that we're going to try to cover. We'll only be able to deal with each one of them very briefly. But first of all, in verse 17, what do we see there that helps us understand something that might apply to our own lives about the way God deals with His people? Here's Jonah, run off from God, trying to hide from God. Amazing fact that he couldn't, isn't it? Isn't it amazing that you can't run off from God? Doesn't matter where you go. You go to heaven, there's God. You go to earth, there's God. If you go to Mars, there's God. If you go to hell, God says, there's God. So you can't get away from God. Jonah imagined that he could. Sometimes even the best of God's people imagine that they can somehow slick one on God and hide from Him. But you can't. Just like trying to hide from yourself. Everywhere you go, there you are. And everywhere you go, there's God. And so Jonah tried to hide from God, ran off down to the sea, and got in big trouble. But here, God prepares a great fish so that when he's thrown overboard, there's a way for him to survive in the stormy sea. How can that fit with us? Let's think for a minute what God did for Jonah. I think we ought to be able to recognize that Jonah teaches us, and God teaches us through Jonah, that even when the condition of our lives and even when our attitudes are not such that we have any fellowship with God, we've run off from God and tried to hide from Him, even in that condition, God prepares for our protection. I mean, Jonah couldn't hardly have been in a worse shape, off down there hiding out with a bunch of seamen out at sea, but the storm of God found him. But God had a way to protect him, even though he had other things in store for Jonah, and the only way God was going to get him there was to get him off of that ship. And in that stormy sea, God needed a way to protect Jonah, even as rebellious as he was, and he prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was able to stay alive down in there during that time. Now we can see, I think, that God's accommodation for us even in a backslidden condition is about protecting us. But notice also that God's protection of us in our backslidden condition isn't always comfortable and nice. I mean, imagine yourself being in the belly of a large fish the way that Jonah was. What an awful situation to be in. Any of you that's ever cleaned fish, you got to know what I'm talking about. And there was Jonah down there in that dank darkness, the seaweed wrapped about his neck and miserable in every way that you can imagine, but alive. And isn't that the way it is sometimes with God's people? God provides for us, but He doesn't necessarily intend to make it comfortable in that way that He's going to provide for us. You know, I can remember a time in my life as a young man that I was running from the Lord. I was out of the will of God. I wasn't listening to the things that God said. I was just going on with my life like nothing happened. Just got out of the Navy, foot loose and fancy free, and there I was, just being me. And I had this old, I believe it was a 49 Dodge pickup that I bought for a few $100s, and I used it to go back and forth to work. And I was going to work one day, and I got to this 90-degree curve, and I was supposed to run right off the end of that curve down into this little subdivision to work that day. And all of a sudden, there was another car coming around the curve, and I wasn't going to be able to do that. So I had to turn real hard in that 90-degree curve in that old 49 broken-up Dodge pickup. And the front axle broke right in half and fell down on the ground, down on the road. And that old truck turned right over on its side. Now tell me, brothers and sisters, when that happened, that other car is in the curve, how did I miss that car? I don't know to this day. How did I miss not being killed? Because I hit flat on pavement on the driver's side. That old truck slid 15, 20 feet on that side. And I got out of there with nothing more than just a shook up mind. What happened? God prepared a certain thing to happen to wake me up. And you know, that incident got me to thinking about the Lord more. And that's the way God does. I was as far from the Lord as I could have been, as one as His people. But He touched me that day by preparing for the breakup of the axle on my old truck so that I might have a moment to reflect on the things of God. And you know something? I got a funny feeling from chapter 2 of this good old book that Jonah did some serious thinking that time he was 3 days in the belly of that fish. I believe he had some serious thoughts. But God preserved him. And that's the way that He does for His people. It may not be smooth or comfortable, but God has a way of preserving us even when we are almost suicidal in the way we act toward our Lord. Now, as we look at chapter 2, we notice that God doesn't necessarily spare us from terror in our times, that He's protecting us, although we have a really bad attitude. God doesn't necessarily spare us from terror. Because of time, I'm not going to read it. But if you read chapter 2 of the book of Jonah, you'll notice that Jonah talks all about how that he was in awful affliction. One verse in verse 2. I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I. And Thou heardest my voice. God had cast him into the midst of the sea. The floods compassed him about, he goes on to say. All the billows and the waves passed over him. And then he was found in the belly of the fish. The waters compassed him about. And he went down to the bottoms of the mountains, he says. His soul was in trouble. He was in the depths of the sea. The weeds were wrapped about his head. He, I am sure, believed that he was as good as gone. Terror gripped him. And that's the way it is sometimes. When God preserves us, even when our attitude is bad, even when we're rejecting the things of God, even when we're out of the will of God, God's preservation of us will take care of us, but it won't necessarily be a happy experience. And He doesn't necessarily protect us from terrors that can strike us in conditions like that. So God prepares for our preservation. He really does at all times. Take that home with you, brothers and sisters, as you think about the fact that we are very flippant. We are wishy-washy sometimes in our service to God, but He's right there with His preservation over us, His preparation to take care of us, going ahead of us, even our times of bad attitude. Now let's go over to chapter 4 and let's read something here in verse 6 of chapter 4. You know, at this point, Jonah had been around in the belly of that fish for 3 days, and God suddenly caused that fish to vomit him up on dry land, and God then gave Jonah His instruction again, said, go on to Nineveh and preach. Do like I told you. And so Jonah rushes to Nineveh. I think I'd rush too. And that's the kind of attention that God got from Jonah when he spent 3 days in the belly of the fish. God got his attention, didn't He? That's good, because that's what we need sometimes. We need our attention gotten, and God can use times of preservation of us to do that. So Jonah is suddenly very attentive to God, and he rushes off over to Nineveh, and he begins to preach. But look at verse 6 now. We find that Jonah has preached, and here he is expecting God to do something to Nineveh, and he notices that God has not done what he thought he would do. God caused the Ninevites to repent and they declared a day of fasting, a day of prayer and repentance, and said, now, we've got to acknowledge God here, and we've got to turn from the way we're doing. And so they did. And Jonah didn't like that. He didn't like that at all. In fact, in verse 1 of chapter 4, the Bible says that when he saw that Nineveh had repented at the preaching that he'd done, it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. Imagine that, as I said at the start. Imagine a preacher not being happy with his influence upon people that he preached to. But notice something. Jonah is in a little booth that he built for himself out here on the side of the gate, edge of the gate at Nineveh, and he's sitting there watching Nineveh to see what's going to happen. He fully expects God to destroy it, even though he's watched those people repent. He's sitting there thinking, now God's got to destroy it. These people have been so evil, there's no way God's going to put up with them. There's no way He's going to continue with them. He's got to be planning to destroy them. So I'm going to sit around and I'm going to see what happened. And so in chapter 4, Jonah goes through this song and dance of prayer and complaint, and he's not happy with God, and he wants God to destroy them, and he can't understand why God hasn't destroyed them. But notice something here in verse 6. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Here's Jonah, all turned wrong side out about the fact that God had done differently from what he thought he should. Here was Jonah, he was sulking, if you will. He was pouting because God had destroyed old wicked Nineveh. And in the midst of that bad attitude that he was still in, God sees that he's unhappy, disappointed, and that he's for the most part uncomfortable out there in his little booth. So overnight he grows him a gourd vine that comes up and shades him completely from the sun. And believe me, the sun was hot, because later on we'll read that Jonah literally fainted from that sun. And there was Jonah in his little gourd-laden, gourd-covered booth. And the Bible tells us there in verse 6, Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. You know, Jonah teaches us something there too. And I think what he ought to teach each one of us is that God prepares things to comfort us, even when our attitude is not in good spiritual condition. God does that for us. And God, I believe that I can say that God does not want His people to be in an ill mood. But even if we are, I think that the Lord doesn't leave us strictly to our misery. I think sometimes we miss the gourd vine growing over our booth, brothers and sisters, I really do. But I believe that He does that for us regardless. Sometimes we're unappreciative of the things that He does us for us when we're in misery. And when we do that, when we're not fully appreciative, I believe we miss the blessings that God gives us even in times of bad spiritual conditions. Now, notice the extreme reaction by Jonah to God's mercy toward these wicked sinners in verses 1 and 3. Because I want to make a point about that. Here's Jonah. It displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Now here Jonah has really gotten into a pity party for himself. And just because God didn't destroy Nineveh, Jonah's all sorry for himself and saying, it's better for me to die and not live. Concerning the fact that here I am sitting here, I preached to these people that you were going to destroy them if they didn't repent, and now you're not going to destroy them. No, Jonah, they repented. But you see, you can't quite change Jonah's attitude. He's got into this state of mind. Do we ever get into a state of mind like that? Where nothing pleases us. Doesn't matter what God does. Doesn't matter if He turns a cloudy day to sunshine. We say, well, that sun's just going to give me a sunburn. If God gives us, if we're broke and need to pay a bill, and God gives us twice as much money as we need to pay the bill, well, we just have to spend it for something else. That's the kind of attitude sometimes that we get in, isn't it? And we overlook the fact that a gourd vine has grown up over our booth. We overlook the fact that God has touched our life with some great blessing. We overlook the fact that God has been gracious to us and that He has prepared to do something good and blessed for us even when we're in the state of bad attitude. That's the thing we want to avoid, brothers and sisters. Jonah was torn up. We get that way sometimes. And when we do, we miss the blessing too. Now, Jonah did have an appreciation for that gourd vine. I give him that. And that's a really great thing to point out to God's people. Let's look in our times when our bad attitude is upon us. Let's try to look for something to be glad about that God has done for us. Let's find that sunshine in the midst of the cloudy day. Let's find that gourd vine growing over our booth to shield us from the beating down of the sun. Now, let's then find simple things, if you will, to be glad toward God about, even in these times when we know we are not right with God, when we know that our spirit's depressed, when we know that our attitude is bad. So God prepares to do us good and give us things that will make us glad even in our depressing times if we'll just look for it and be like Jonah, be glad for our gourd vine over our boat. Now notice something else now in verse 7. He says here, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. What could possibly be going on here? What is it that we should have to learn from the fact that God gave Jonah comfort of that gourd vine for only one day? I think that God expected more from Jonah than he got. I think God credited Jonah for being glad that the gourd vine was there. But God wanted something more out of Jonah that He didn't get. And so He turns Jonah's enjoyment, pleasure, and comfort into a time of trial and affliction again for a reason. And doesn't God deal with us the same way? I believe that He does. I believe this ought to teach us that if we'll not be satisfied with how the Lord does things, then God may prepare that which takes away the very creature comforts and enjoyments that we're sitting under as He gives us blessing. Brothers and sisters, let us learn from Jonah that if we have a gourd vine growing over our booth, let's be content with that. Let's praise God for it. And let's look and see and make sure that our attitude toward the Lord and toward the way He does things is all right. You know, Jonah had a contention with what God did with Nineveh. And I believe sometimes we, in our hearts, get that same way. We get contentious with God about how He does things. God was supposed to destroy Nineveh. And since He didn't, we get all huffy with God about it. Like Jonah, we say, whoa, where's this destruction? It's supposed to have happened. How, God, Can you continue to put up with that wickedness that's going on? Why haven't you judged it? Oh Lord, why haven't you judged it? We ask that question, don't we? I want to tell you something. In today's time and place in this country, I believe some of us have asked that question, Lord, how is it that you put up one more day with the wickedness that's going on amongst our government people and the people of this land? How is it you put up with it one more day? Aren't we verging on being contentious with God about it? I think we are. We get to the place like Jonah. I'm going to sit here salt because you didn't destroy Nineveh. But we notice that when Jonah continued in that attitude, God took that lovely, comfortable gourd vine away from him. And he'll do that for us. Why will he do that? Because God loves us and he intends to point us in the right direction. Now, I think what we ought to learn from this is that God has a way of dealing with us to get the right response out of us. And he's not shy about doing things that way in order to get our attention and point us in the right direction. Now, Jonah, I believe, changed his attitude. We don't find any comments coming out of Jonah after this when God chides him and God reproves him about how he's been thinking and doing. And I'm taking from that Jonah shut his mouth and quit complaining. He could have praised God later on. We don't have a record of it. But at least he didn't speak out against what God had done again. He didn't say any more about it. So God led Jonah from the fish's belly to Nineveh and preaching to the booth and the gourd vine. And when Jonah didn't get his lesson, when Jonah wasn't properly, didn't get that attitude adjustment that he needed, God took the gourd vine. And we see here that after God killed the gourd vine, came to pass when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die. He said, it is better for me to die than to live. See what God did? He led him right back into trial and affliction. And God may do that for us. He does it for us because he loves us. And he wants us to see things right. He doesn't want us to continue where Jonah continued, in hardness, resentment, in his attitude of sulking. Now, what's God's purpose in bringing all of this? Well, I think I can say that when God prepares whatever it is that takes away our creature comforts, and when he prepares whatever it is that brings us affliction, it'll often be to help with an attitude adjustment, just like I've been suggesting. Now, in closing, let's ask this question. What's the contrast between Jonah's whining and the reality that God explained to him? What's the contrast between Jonah's whining, the claim he makes in it, and what reality really is here? Remember Jonah saying, I might as well be dead. You were supposed to destroy Nineveh, that wicked and vile city. And now I'm sorry, I'm mourning the loss of my gourd vine, and I'm fainting in this heat. And notice what God says in verse 8. This gives us the contrast. Came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared that vehement east wind, and Jonah said, it's better for me to live, for me to die than to live. In verse 9, God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Now, first of all, notice that Jonah's saying, I have a right to be angry about you killing that gourd. It was my pride and joy. I'm going to guess he probably watered it the day that it grew up. And you know, looked, make sure there wasn't any worms on the leaves, and, you know, pampered it like you ladies do your flowers. And he loved that gourd. Fell in love with it in a day. And God killed it. The next day, Jonah looks at it and says, I do well. I'm right to be mad about you killing my gourd plant. Now listen to God. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city whereon are more than 64,000 persons that cannot discern between the right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? What has happened to Jonah, brothers and sisters, in this account? Jonah has lost his perspective. I want you to notice something that ought to bring home to us the fact that sometimes when we get a bad attitude toward God, we get a bad attitude about what's happening in our lives, we get like Jonah. Sometimes when we get this kind of attitude, we lose our perspective. And the little minuscule becomes the mountain. And the mountain becomes the nothing. To Jonah that day, that gourd vine was a mountain. And the entire population of Nineveh was nothing. Do we ever get there? Is that the way we handle things sometimes? Let's learn from Jonah and from God's admonition to Jonah that it's not our perspective that's always right, but rather it's God's perspective that's always right. And we need to see things from the perspective of God, but we can't do it when our attitude needs adjustment. And so if our attitude is in need of adjustment, let's not get surprised if God sends us a great fish in the midst of our ocean of great storm, and if God sends us a gourd vine and then takes the gourd vine and puts us back in affliction when we don't learn our lesson, when we don't make an attitude adjustment. Let's not get shocked when all of that happens, because God wants us to get to the right spiritual place that we understand things as they ought to be, God's way. And when we do that, then God can bless us, and the blessing means something to us. So let's look to God to help us with our attitude adjustment. And when we look to God for that attitude adjustment, God knows just how to do it. And He has all the preparations in mind and heart to make it happen with.